special.
They've certainly got the crown jewel of this class.
The Drake May era will get underway. Goes to the end zone. Touchdown, Carolina! What a throw! And that's what Caleb Williams does.
Drake May is a player to watch in college football, ladies and gentlemen.
We striking the floor. Disrespect me. You're about to take a loss.
Always has an answer whenever there's a problem.
Watch out, open field!
It's special. He's almost unstoppable.
I'm on the throne now, and I ain't never coming off.
Just a little over a month away from the NFL draft, and it's a Mel mock day, okay? Mel's mock draft 3.0 is out now. Here's the top five. Caleb Williams to the Bears, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, Drake May to the Patriots, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals, Malik Nabers to the Chargers. Check out the full mock over at ESPN.com. Welcome to NFL Live. We are so glad that you are with us here today, and we're going to talk about that mock draft in just a little bit. Mel Kiper Jr. joining us, but Ryan Clark, Andrew Hawkins, Adam Schefter is here, and we've got a lot to get to. Let's get right to the latest. And no, it's not Hawk's cool shirt. We're going to start with Adam on the top stories. The Browns traded for Jerry Jeudy last week and paid their guy today. What do we need to know, Adam?
Well, they paid him an extension, the likes of which Andrew Hawkins now could afford to go buy that shirt that he's wearing. They gave Jerry Jeudy $41 million in guaranteed money on a three-year extension. And so before he even takes a snap for the team, they go and extend him to this new particular contract. He obviously was in the last year of that deal, but now he will be staying in Cleveland for the short-term future at the very least. Also in the state of Ohio today, the Cincinnati Bengals found a new offensive tackle to help replace Jonah Williams, who signed with Arizona during free agency. Trent Brown signs a one-year deal with the Cincinnati Bengals, and now the Bengals might have the largest tackle tandem in the league between Orlando Brown Jr. and Trent Brown. Two Browns on the outside, two mammoth-sized tackles, and they will be protecting Joe Burrow for this upcoming season. And yesterday at the tail end of NFL Live, we heard how Chase Young signed a one-year $13 million deal with the New Orleans Saints. Well, he also is expected to undergo a neck procedure that is expected to sideline him into training camp. The expectation is that he should be back for the start of the regular season. The Saints were aware of this issue. It has been an ongoing issue for Chase Young. He's going to have that corrected here in the days to come. And the Detroit Lions have added a guard to replace the guard, Jonah Jackson, that they lost in free agency to the Rams. The former Ravens Pro Bowl guard, Kevin Zeitler, has signed a one-year deal with the Lions. The Lions obviously add to their offensive line, looking to do that. They've filled most of their holes during free agency. Zeitler flew into Detroit last night, signed the deal today, and help shore up that Lions offensive line, Laura.
We will continue to keep you updated of all of it, and Adam here throughout the hour. The Ravens had one of the best run games in football last year. They led the NFL in rushing yards per game and ranked in the top four in yards per rush, run block win rate, and success rate. But three of their offensive linemen are no longer with the team, as we told you. What do we see out of this run game in 2024? RC, you take those three losses along the line, but you do add Derrick Henry. Is this offense better today than it was last season in your mind?
No, how can we say it's better? Also, let's remember, this was the number one rushing attack in all of football last year with Keaton Mitchell, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill. And adding Derrick Henry, who still has a lot of tread on the tires, that makes them better on paper. That makes them more fierce when you look at the roster. But what is it going to add to this team that now loses three very important offensive linemen? The thing I do love about the Derrick Henry pickup is the short yardage, where so many times we would point to Lamar Jackson to ask him to pick up 2 and 3 yards in some of the most crucial and critical situational football moments. And you can also look at the red zone. Well, now his physical downhill running will take some of the pressure off of Lamar Jackson. But make no mistake about it, it doesn't matter how well they run the football. When you're up against the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allens, and the Joe Burrows, when it comes to playoff football, it's going to be on the arm of Lamar Jackson. Derrick Henry's a great add, but it doesn't improve this offense in my estimation.
I'm with you. I think RC is spot on. This does not make this team better. The theory of addition by subtraction is very real, but it doesn't apply here. You've lost 60% of your offensive line, and the piece that you did retain, and Ronnie Stanley, was he struggled mightily last year. A lot of that large part due to injury. So, yes, Derrick Henry is an addition in the backfield, but as we know, there were so many elements of this offense that made the Ravens special. But offensive success is dictated in the trenches, period. And I can promise you, what they didn't pitch to Derrick Henry was him coming in and not having a good offensive line. That's absolutely not the case. So, actually, without those offensive linemen that they lost, and Zeitler to the Lions makes more sense personality-wise than maybe any signing I've ever heard of in my life. But without that offensive line, I can promise you there's a higher chance of the signing of Derrick Henry not paying dividends unless they address the O-line in the draft.
Yeah, and of course, worth remembering that the big gripe a lot of Ravens fans and others had in their exit from the playoffs was that they didn't run the ball well in that game. And Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, needing to get that run game going. We'll see how it looks next season. Let's get Adam back in here. Even with all the moves in the last week, there are some big names that are still available. Let's start with Xavien Howard. What's the market look like for him right now?
Yeah, Laura, obviously the market a week into free agency is greatly diminished, but there are some players, as you mentioned, who are still out there, including Xavien Howard, the former Dolphins cornerback who the team released before free agency, designated him a post-June 1 salary cap casualty. Still looking for a new home right now, looking to make plays elsewhere. Nothing quite yet. Shouldn't be long before Xavien Howard does have a new home somewhere else, but nothing as of yet. And the former Broncos safety Justin Simmons, who also was released right before free agency, still looking for a new home. Obviously, there was a glut of safeties this year, which I think has slowed down the movement of some of the safeties, but no player in football had intercepted more passes over the last recent seasons than Justin Simmons. He's still looking to do that elsewhere. There will be interest, and also shouldn't be long before he finds a new home. And Mike Williams, the former Chargers wide receiver, also released last week, is visiting today with the New York Jets, scheduled to visit the Carolina Panthers tomorrow, the Pittsburgh Steelers later this week. The Los Angeles Chargers still are interested in bringing him back, with them having traded Keenan Allen to Chicago. Mike Williams does have interest. He is coming off the ACL. It could be until training camp before he's ready again. But in the interim, it won't be long before he has a new home. Wouldn't be a surprise to see him find one this week.
Yeah, in Mel's mock draft, which we're going to get to a little bit more later, he has the Chargers taking Malik Nabers in the draft at the fifth pick. Hawk, is there a fit that you like for Williams, though?
Of those options, I would say the New York Jets or maybe even the Chargers. And the reason why I say that is for Mike Williams, 29 years old, coming off of an ACL, it is advantageous for him to find a spot where the onus and responsibility of big passing plays aren't solely based on his shoulders. You have to go somewhere where there is a QB, or that QB position is solidified, and that is Aaron Rodgers, and that is Justin Herbert. Now, specifically with the New York Jets, you got Garrett Wilson on the opposite side of the field, and as we said with Aaron Rodgers, he's the best deep ball thrower, and he is the best back shoulder thrower, and you, Mike Williams, can drill in on what you do best, which is the deep ball, which is contested catches in those 50-50 ball situations.
Yeah, and maybe with the Jets adding to their O-line, even though some of those guys are a little bit older, Aaron Rodgers has some time to really make those deep balls happen, even though he doesn't need a whole lot of time. RC, on the defensive side, who should be on the phone with Justin Simmons people?
You know who I would love to see call Justin Simmons? The Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills released Jordan Poirier. And if Justin Simmons is going to be one of these guys that could play on a one-year deal, I'd love to see what he could do in Sean McDermott's sort of scheme defensively. And also thinking about pairing him with a Taylor Rapp or someone like that who has just re-signed. Also look at the Los Angeles Rams, who didn't re-sign Jordan Fuller, to get a player like Justin Simmons on a defense that truly underachieved overachieved under Raheem Morris. I think that would be an amazing fit. And the New York Jets, you lose Jordan Whitehead, who returns back to Tampa Bay. Your defense has been the linchpin of this team the last 2 years. Adding a Justin Simmons, a dynamic playmaker on the back end, would be huge with the great corner play that you get.
Yeah, RC, I don't have to tell you this. Justin Simmons has 19 interceptions in the last four seasons. Yeah. That's the most in the NFL. This guy is so good. Don't miss out on a chance to get him. We're just getting started here on NFL Live. On the other side of this break, Mel Kiper Jr. joining the show, talking about quarterbacks. He expects to go at the top of the draft. But stay tuned to hear why RC thinks New England should pass on one of those guys. They need to focus on other needs. Plus, a trade demand from T. Higgins and a cryptic tweet from Stephon Diggs have us wondering if they could both be on the move. Adam Schefter will update us with the latest on both star receivers. It's all next right here on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, now it's a Mel Kiper Jr. mock draft day here on NFL Live. Here's the full mock, and as you can see, he's got Caleb Williams going first overall to the Bears. The Bears have been making moves to help out Caleb Williams if they do end up drafting him. They already had DJ Moore and Cole Kmet in place, and they've added Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett, and DeAndre Swift. So let's bring Mel Kiper Jr. in to talk about this mock. We've got a lot to get to, Mel, but we usually see quarterbacks who get taken first overall end up on teams with pretty bad rosters. Might not be the case here, though, with Chicago. Just how good a spot would Williams be entering if he goes to the Bears?
I think it's an ascending team, Alara. Yeah. I really do. Justin Fields showed that. He went 4-3 down the stretch. Got a lot of good young players. They have the 9th pick overall. They don't have a second-round pick because they used that to get Montez Sweat, which was a heck of a trade. He led 2 teams in sacks last year. I think when you look at moving down off of 9, a very good possibility, then you get that extra 2 back, that 2 back, maybe another pick. So I think if they get Caleb Williams, obviously one, that's going to be their choice. I don't think there's any debate about that right now. It's Caleb Williams. At 9, though, do you take the pass rusher in Jared Verse from Florida State, or do you move down and get Verse or Laiatu Latu from UCLA or Chop Robinson from Penn State and pick up that second-round pick that you lost in the Montez Sweat deal?
Yeah, typically when you're a first overall quarterback selection, you're walking into a dumpster fire with a weight room and a cafeteria. But that is not the case for the Chicago Bears because of the moves that they've made over the last couple of seasons. Yeah, we talk about Kmet. Obviously, Everett is a great addition. And same with DeAndre Swift. But if you look at the receiving core and DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, it might be the most young quarterback-friendly tandem in the league. And that is both on and off the field. You look at what DJ Moore was able to do for Justin Fields when they got going. And the same for Keenan Allen with Justin Herbert, because Keenan Allen is one of the best route runners in the league, maybe the best since he's entered. He has a reputation of seeing the defense the same way the quarterback does it. For Caleb Williams, his whole thing is timing. We understand the talent that he has, but can he get on the timing of the NFL early? Keenan Allen provides that opportunity, which is why he had his best season at 31 years old, because he's more like Tim Duncan as a wide receiver. He only gets better with age, and he has a skill set that stands the test of time.
A fine wine. All right, so that was number one in Mel's new mock. Let's go past number two, where Jaden Daniels goes to the Commanders. Mel's got Drake May going 3rd overall to the Patriots, as you see there. And look, the Patriots need the help, okay? They have one of the worst quarterback rooms in the league last year. The Pats ranked 31st in the NFL in total QBR and touchdown-to-interception ratio, ahead of only the Jets. So, Mel, you think this is an automatic quarterback spot for you, or could this be a spot for a trade, maybe our first trade in the draft at that 3?
All right. Not automatic, Laura, because the trade possibility, you hear the rumors, the speculation. I talk to friends in the league, say, hey, you know, you never know. Minnesota's got 11-23. Maybe they had that dance partner already picked out because they made that move to get the quarterback. Maybe Drake May, North Carolina, is that guy from Minnesota. J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. So moving down for New England, is then getting out of that 3rd spot, is a possibility. I say this. If a team like Minnesota or Denver doesn't have the ammunition to move up, but Minnesota does now with 11-23. They need a quarterback as desperately as New England does. New England needs it as much as they do. So why would New England get out of there and let Minnesota go up unless they just don't have a high regard for Drake May or J.J. McCarthy? If that's the case, Laura, and RC, you can't force it. I get that. We have busts in the top of the draft all the time at quarterback. So you can't force it. So you have to have strong conviction on May or McCarthy to make that pick. If they don't, get out of there and let somebody else take the quarterback that you really don't like that much.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Mel. Listen, the last time we saw the New England Patriots settle on a quarterback, Mac Jones skipped up to the podium to hug the commissioner, and it's been downhill ever since. And so if Drake May or J.J. McCarthy is there at number three and you aren't absolutely in love with them, do not strap Gerard Mayo and this team down with a quarterback that's going to sink them like saddlebags. Find a way to get another player. Find a way to trade back and gain more assets to give this team, which is bereft of talent in so many different positions, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to build. Now, if you fall in love with somebody and they're the perfect dancing partner, then you take them and you groom them and you give them an opportunity to grow along with the head coach. But do not force it. The last time you did that, you ended up starting Bailey Zappe in year three.
Hey, RC, do not do to the quarterback that you end up getting, whoever that quarterback is, what you did to one Mac Jones.
Yeah.
You gave him no
Don't
help.
Get Matt
he had
Patricia.
That rookie year where he had, and Joe Judge. I mean, come on. Give him something on the field, coaching-wise, stability. Give him something around, infrastructure around him. Mac Jones had no shot after showing promise as a rookie, and we knew he couldn't carry a team. He didn't have that physical capability, right? So they hung him out to dry. Don't do that to whoever, whatever quarterback you decide to bring into the fold this year.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Mac Jones does with a fresh opportunity in Jacksonville. They did get Jacoby Brissett, the Patriots did, somebody they're familiar with. And by the way, his career QBR is 53. That's 21 points better than what the Pats quarterbacks put up last season. Maybe they decide to just stick with him, to Mel's point, and get some other draft capital, but they do need a quarterback potentially. We'll see. One of the biggest surprises in Mel's latest mock is Bo Nix going 12th overall to the Broncos. Now, the Broncos have not been able to develop a quarterback. The last QB to be drafted by Denver and win a playoff game was Tim Tebow back in the 2011 wild card game against the Steelers. Tebow threw an 80-yard game-winning touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas in overtime. They lost then by 35 to the Patriots in the divisional round. So, Mel, what's your thought there? Nix at 12 to the Broncos.
Common sense, Laura. I tried to think it through, and I didn't talk to Adam about this. Adam will tell me I'm crazy probably, but the bottom line is I saw a little Drew Brees in Bo Nix. And I went back to Drew Brees' scouting report, all the numbers, hand size even exactly the same. Bo Nix, 6'2", Drew Brees, 6 foot and a half, both around 215, accurate passers. Don't add the big arm. Drew Brees didn't have a big arm. That's why it's the first pick in the second round, right? Bo Nix doesn't have the big arm. Cerebral, okay? Can beat you with their legs, can beat a defense with their legs. Bo Nix can. Drew Brees had legs coming at it. He had over 600-yard rushing that last year at Purdue. All the things that go in. Accuracy, 77%, 72% in 2022 for Bo Nix once everything came together at Oregon. I saw him make a pirouette move near the sideline against LSU on a fourth down when he was at Auburn. It was unbelievable, the throw he made for a touchdown. So for me, Sean Payton has no two, Adam. Okay, he's in a division with Mahomes and Herbert. He's in a conference with Josh and Lamar. He's got to get the quarterback. I think Bo Nix, he will see a lot of Drew Brees in Bo Nix.
Mel, here's my first question. Have I ever called you crazy before?
Always the first time, Adam.
No, I've never called you crazy, Mel. Sometimes you're off, but you're not crazy. You're very logical thinking, and everybody's expecting that the Broncos could potentially go quarterback. Initially, when we were in Indianapolis at the Combine, everybody was talking about how Sean Payton loved J.J. McCarthy. Here you've got Bo Nix slated there. And I think the bottom line is Sean Payton has an eye for quarterback talent. And the year that Patrick Mahomes was coming out, he was ready to take him until the Chiefs jumped him and took him right before he could take him, which would have changed the course of football history. I think everybody thinks the Broncos are in the quarterback market. Nobody would be surprised if it was Bo Nix. Nobody would be surprised if it's J.J. McCarthy. Nobody would be surprised if it's Michael Penix. There are some quarterbacks out there right now that make sense. It's up to Sean Payton and staff to narrow down the choice and see who's available at their slot. No, Mel, you're not crazy about Bo Nix. You're not crazy about a quarterback here. We'll see what Denver ultimately decides to do.
Now, last thing, guys, Bill Parcells, Sean Payton. What did Bill Parcells always say? Experience at quarterback starts. Bo Nix had a ton of starts.
Yeah.
Patrick Nix's father, coaching with his dad, all the things you want. He's 24 years old coming out. Experience at the collegiate level. Sean Payton was brought up with that philosophy.
Yeah, Mel, Nick's made 61 starts in college, to be exact. That's the most by any quarterback in FBS history. Only Case Keenum had more yards of total offense. He's definitely got the experience, and that accuracy has gotten better as he's gone along. More to come on NFL Live. Is the gap narrowing for the top wide receiver prospect in this year's draft? Hear why RC thinks Malik Nabers is firmly in contention with Marvin Harrison Jr. for the number one spot. We're talking wideouts. Mel's not going anywhere. We'll be right back on NFL Live.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The next UFC Fight Night features the much-anticipated women's flyweight main event. The prelims begin Saturday at 7 Eastern, followed by the main card at 10 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. We're glad you're with us on NFL Live today. Time to read and react to some news around the NFL. Adam Schefter, you reported last week that T. Higgins officially requested a trade after being tagged in Cincinnati. Have there been any suitors since then?
Listen, I think teams are aware of the fact that he's available. The issue is you'd have to compensate T. Higgins and you'd have to compensate the Bengals. That's not a simple proposition to get done. But T. Higgins is very disappointed in the fact that the Bengals haven't had any contract negotiations with him in basically a full year. He does want out of the organization right now. He wants to be somewhere where they're going to pay him. The Bengals haven't been willing to do that so far. And this will stay out there and linger out there all the way until and through the draft if there's no resolution by then.
Yeah, RC, what would the loss of Higgins mean for Joe Burrow in that offense?
This would be huge, Laura. Think about Joe Burrow and why we've seen him excel. In 2019 at LSU, we had the Monstars with Ja'Marr Chase, Terrace Marshall, and Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield. And since he's been in Cincinnati, it's been Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase. Tyler Boyd is a free agent. If T. Higgins is gone, it's now just going to be Ja'Marr Chase, and you're going to have to add pieces around him to allow Joe Burrow to distribute the football like we've seen him do throughout his first four seasons in the NFL. I think T. Higgins is a number one type talent, and when he's opposite Ja'Marr Chase, as Ja'Marr draws those double teams, he's able to take advantage of those things. I talked to Joe Burrow a weekend ago, and he said he really wanted the Cincinnati Bengals to resolve things with T. Higgins. Since then, he's asked for the trade, so Joe can't be happy.
Man, a good reason for that would be that 74% of Joe Burrow's pass attempts in his career have been made with T. Higgins on the field. He's really important to that offense, to your point, RC. Another wideout in the news in recent weeks is Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. Diggs put out a cryptic post on social media that he's want to do over the weekend saying, quote, ready for whatever. Adam, is there a scenario where Diggs is not with the Bills next season?
Well, Laura, I could say this, that the Buffalo Bills are not looking to deal Stephon Diggs, yet he continues to put out mysterious tweets and posts on social media that make you wonder about how happy he is in Buffalo. And I don't think the Bills want to move him. They obviously want to keep him. If they were to trade him, it would cost them even more against the salary cap. But if there's a team that comes along and makes a huge offer, I guess you always listen, and the Bills would have to listen at that point in time. But as long as he's posting messages like that that would indicate some level of unhappiness, then again, like T. Higgins, this is an issue that will float out there all the way till and through the draft.
You know what, Steph? We're also ready for whatever. Hawk, if he does want out, who should be on the phone with Buffalo right now?
I'm thinking about teams that have the cap space and the ability to go take on a contract that Stephon Diggs has. And to me, it's Houston Texans. I know he would love to play for the Cowboys with his brother, but we can get him to the state, but not to that team. The Texans, for a couple of reasons. C.J. Stroud burst onto the scene a year ago, and it was so very clear he is in the upper echelon of NFL quarterbacks on a rookie deal. You look at Nico Collins, you look at Tank Dell, and C.J. Stroud all on rookie contracts. If you add Stephon Diggs into that mix, they're already contenders by being a playoff team in such a quick turnaround. They become one of the best, or at least as good as, any offensive skill position groups in the league. You mix it with C.J. Stroud, and you might be cooking with oil earlier than you expected.
Yeah, and so many players, we saw this in free agency, they want to go there now, too. It's a great place to go. D'Amico Ryan's a big reason for that as well. Let's continue on the wide receiver theme here, but we're going to go to the draft and some of the guys that some of these teams may need to get. Mel's got three wide receivers going in the top six picks. Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4 to the Cardinals. Malik Nabers right after that at 5 to the Chargers. And then Roma Dunze, 6 to the Giants. It'd be the first time in draft history that three wide receivers were taken in the top six picks like that as we bring Mel back in. Mel, you've been consistent with Harrison Jr. at the top of your wideout class. Just how close is Malik Nabers to being the top wideout, though?
Laura, I attacked it this way back in August and through the year that Marvin Harrison Jr. was the number one guy, and there was like I could touch him. There's not a receiver out there can get close to Marvin Harrison Jr. I was with his dad back at the Hula Bowl back when he came out of Syracuse. Loved him. That was when Keyshawn Johnson came out that year, went number one overall. Marvin went in the middle of the first, became a great player, Hall of Famer. Marvin Harrison Jr. is exactly like his father. He's all business with great talent. Bigger, okay? And I think when you look at Marvin Harrison Jr., I said, he's my guy. He's number one receiver. Then it got down to, is it Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze at number two? That was the battle all year. Every time I talk to people in the league, which one? I'd get a 50-50 split on Nabers and Odunze. I didn't get anybody saying, nah, they're ahead of Harrison. Now, Matt Miller said today he had some people saying Nabers is ahead of Harrison. I haven't seen that, heard that from people I speak to. It's not everybody in the league, obviously. We have our guys and we have our friends, and that's it. Bottom line is, Marvin Harrison Jr. is my guy, like Larry Fitzgerald was when he came out of Pitt. People were trying to talk me off of Larry Fitzgerald, and I guess they're going to try to do the same thing with Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm not budging. I think Malik Nabers and Odunze are basically 2 and 2A. You can flip a coin on those two. They're equal, in my opinion.
Come on, RC.
I actually talked to Roma Dunze this weekend, and he said he felt like all of those guys were number ones and could be stars. And I get why Marvin Harrison Jr. is the top receiver for Mel. He came into this season as the top guy. He had a great season. There's a lot of talent within this young man, and we've also seen him produce. But when you look at Malik Nabers and what he was able to do attacking the field on all three levels, he's a catch and run guy. He's a guy who can get up the seam. He can also beat you deep, as we saw him paired with Jaden Daniels last year. I believe it is a lot closer than most people make it. And also, when you think of Roma Dunze with 1,600 yards playing for the University of Washington, all these guys are stars to me. And when you think about the top two, we're going to go back to what we felt about Marvin Harrison before this year. He is a lot like his father. The one thing you can't pass down is success and production. And we've seen that from Junior, but I do believe that Malik Nabers is going to be a guy that plays extremely well in this league, especially very early.
I think they're both incredible prospects. I do think they're the top two, and I do think there's a little bit of a gap between even Nabers and Odunze when I watch him on film. I love Nabers because he plays in the slot so well. He's explosive and all the things that RC talked about. I think he has the same ceiling as Marvin Harrison Jr. But when I look at the floor, I think it's more of a guaranteed prospect in Marvin Harrison Jr. for a lot of reasons. He could play the inside and he could play the outside. He's 6'4" and I'm 5'7". So this means something to me saying this. The prototypical size is going to matter when he's matched up with the quarterback. When I watch him off the ball, off press coverage, Marvin Harrison Jr. has footwork and he has strength. So even when he doesn't get clean releases, he still powers through defensive backs almost without even feeling like he's touched or unfazed. Also, when I look at Nabers, some of the things he has to work on versus Marvin Harrison Jr., he is just a little bit more elevated because even running through the football, catching with your hands as the way he goes up, you can just tell Marvin Harrison Jr. has been tutored to be a prototypical wide receiver from his father. It shows up on film.
Every time I watch their highlights, I just can't wait to see these guys in the NFL. All right, Adam, you're listening to this and you wanted to add something. What you got?
Yeah, listen, I think obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. is an elite wide receiver prospect, but I did have somebody say to me at the combine, in a front office that don't be surprised if Malik Nabers goes ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. In the draft. Now, I don't know that that will happen, but he said, I feel that way, and I think there are others that feel that way. So, again, I think that most people believe that Harrison is the top wide receiver prospect, but I don't think it's unanimous, and I do know that there are people out there who believe that Malik Nabers is the top wide receiver prospect in this draft. Now, we see how this unfolds on the draft. I still think Harrison will go number one, but I had somebody warn me that there are people out there who think Nabers is a better prospect than Marvin Harrison Jr. We'll see if that turns out to be
and
true.
And Adam has friends, too. Adam has friends like Mel. Me and Hawk ain't got no friends, but Adam has friends.
Yeah, he does. It's friends and sources and whatever you want to call them. By the way, some of this did have to do with injury, but Nabers led the FBS in receiver yards per game last year. Marvin Harrison ranked ninth. All right, the draft, 5 weeks away. Today, we're sending love to our teammate and our friend, Hannah Storm. She was recently diagnosed with the earliest stage of breast cancer. Hannah shared what she called a story of hope and optimism with the goal of raising awareness of the importance of regular screening, self-advocacy, and individualized care for breast cancer. You see her tweet there today. And Hannah, we just want you to know that we're thinking about you, admiring your bravery to help others by putting this story out there so that all of us can remember, go get checked, go to the doctor. Even if you think you're fine, you just never know what could happen. So thanks to Hannah for sharing and for thinking of others like she always does. Coming up here on NFL Live, we've got more to get to. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers added two starting caliber quarterbacks in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So who should be QB1? Hear why Hawk thinks Russ will not only win the job, but keep it for the entire season. That's next on NFL Live.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The inaugural United Football League season kicks off March 30th, featuring 21 matchups across ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC. With every game available on ESPN+, a huge doubleheader comes your way Sunday, March 31st, as the DC Defenders take on the San Antonio Brahmas, followed by the Houston Roughnecks hosting the Memphis Showboats. Don't miss that. All right, time to see what's on trend around the NFL. I'll give you a stat. You tell me if the trend continues next season. Trevor Lawrence is where we start. He was running for his life in 2023. Jaguars ranked 29th in pass block win rate and 28th in run block win rate. Now, they added center Mitch Morris to help shore it up. Hawk, is this offense better today than it was last season?
I don't think it is. I think really essentially what they've swapped is Calvin Ridley for Gabe Davis on the offensive side of the ball. Yes, they've added Morse at the center position, and I like Gabe Davis, but Gabe Davis to me is a complimentary receiver to what you have, whereas Calvin Ridley is a number one and has potential to only get better. I don't think Gabe Davis has reached his peak, but when I look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and even what Calvin Ridley did a season ago, I can't help but feel like this was still him knocking the rust off from missing the 2022 season. So I don't think they've gotten better by any stretch of the imagination, but there's still potential.
Elsewhere in the state of Florida, let's go to Miami. Miami's pass defense struggled in 2023, ranking 28th in completion percentage allowed and 21st in yards per attempt. Dolphins brought in corner Kendall Fuller and safety Jordan Poirier in free agency to help address that. RC, will this trend of bad pass defense continue in 2024 for the Miami?
You know, I don't think that this trend continues, but it is going to be difficult very early in the season with Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb both coming off of injury. And how will Anthony Weaver, the new defensive coordinator, utilize Jalen Ramsey? That's going to be extremely important. They could have one of the best safety tandems in all in football with Javon Holland now being paired with Jordan Poirier. But it's going to be about attacking. And does Anthony Weaver come over with that Mike McDonald ability to use his best players in their greatest positions to reach their potential?
Steelers quarterbacks, not good last season. Womp. They were bottom 10 in passing touchdowns, total QBR, and yards per attempt. They had just 564 dropbacks in 2023, which was the second fewest in the league. RC, the Steelers certainly hope this trend comes to an end with the additions to their quarterback room. Are you okay with them naming Russ the starter without even really having a competition? They made it very clear it's Russ, and then Justin Fields will back him up.
You know, I would have to think that that was part of the conversation to get Russell Wilson to come to Pittsburgh, whether it was going to be Kenny Pickett or Justin Fields. I think Omar Khan, the general manager, and Mike Tomlin had to sit down with him and give him some certainties entering training camp. But when you add a guy like Justin Fields with so much upside, with so much young talent, live legs and a live arm, I believe that there has to be some sort of competition in training camp. This is a team that's just been good enough, and part of it has been because of quarterback play since losing Ben Roethlisberger to retirement. So for me, you can say that as long as you don't believe that and you go with the best guy that's going to give you the best opportunity to win football games.
I agree. I think Mike Tomlin has exactly what he wants in that room, which is competition. It doesn't matter if he said Russell Wilson was the starter. He could have said Russell Wilson will be the president of the United States. That won't take away from the fact that they're going to play the best quarterback. Justin Fields picked Pittsburgh because he thought it was an advantageous situation for him, and Russell Wilson was someone he could compete with. What I love about it is you sign Russell Wilson, who has done amazing things in his career in this league. Now you put him in a scenario where players thrive best. RC will tell you the league is about taking someone's job or fending somebody off from the job that you have. So now Russell Wilson will have to look over his shoulder and perform at his best. And I think that's what's going to happen in Pittsburgh. And Russell Wilson will be the starter and remain the starter because he has Justin Fields to push him.
RC, the way that you were talking, it made me think you would rather see Justin Fields start, or maybe you think Justin Fields is going to start. Just quickly, am I right there?
I would want that, right? If you're Mike Tomlin, do you want the older guy that's on the backside of his career that's been jettisoned from two places, the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos, or the young dude with an amazing talent that you can get now, put him in your system, have a franchise guy for the next decade? I want Justin Fields to win, not because I like him more, but because it's better for any organization to have a young player that they know they can build and grow with.
I hear you. Adam, you had something to add too?
Well, Laura, here's the whole thing, right? They have said that Russell Wilson is the starter going into training camp. Justin Fields is the backup going into training camp. They've been pretty clear. But think about the investment that they have in each player. They essentially are giving Russell Wilson $1.2 million, while the Denver Broncos are paying him almost $38 million this year. Very little investment. They gave up a conditional 2025 sixth-round pick for Justin Fields. Very little investment. They can appoint Russell Wilson the starter. They can say Fields is the backup. But the fact of the matter is they have the luxury of letting this play out during camp and doing whatever is best for that football team. There's no commitment, obligation, loyalty to any one of these guys. They didn't pay very much for either one of them. I even had an executive say if Justin Fields had played him, Russell Wilson during training camp, they could see Russell Wilson then moving on from him before the season. Like, there's a whole range of possibilities. We know that Russell Wilson goes in as the starter, but again, they're going to let the competition play out, and we'll see where it goes.
Incredibly low risk, masterful work by the Steelers, at least as it looks right now. Coming up next, Mel Kiper is back with us to answer our analysts' most pressing questions. I have one, too. We're nearing the upcoming NFL draft, including why he thinks the Jets should add a playmaker for Aaron Rodgers instead of an offensive lineman. More NFL Live on the way. Breaking news here on NFL Live. We go to Adam Schefter for the latest.
Well, Laura, Mike Williams, the former Chargers wide receiver, is signing a one-year deal worth up to $15 million with the New York Jets, and that means the Jets have added a big-time target for Aaron Rodgers to go along with Garrett Wilson. This has become a priority. The Jets have slowly but surely filled their holes during free agency. They filled in the offensive line. Now they've added a wide receiver, which gives them flexibility during the draft with their first overall pick. Mike Williams will not be visiting Carolina Wednesday, will not be visiting Pittsburgh later this week, will not be returning to the Los Angeles Chargers. He's staying in New York his first visit with the Jets, and he's getting a deal done with them for up to $15 million.
Yeah, fascinating now to see what they do in the draft with that 10th overall pick. We'll get to that. Hawk, earlier in the show, just a little while ago, you asked for this to happen. Now that it's happened, what are your thoughts?
I think it makes the most sense. Listen, as a 29-year-old receiver who was in the league with a quarterback situation that was uncertain, it is not fun. And it kills your future perspectives when you head into more free agencies. This is perfect short-term deal. Mike Williams go in there. He does what he does best. And he can come back in the market a year from now after having played with one of the best and most talented quarterbacks in NFL history. It's the perfect 1+1=3 scenario.
I don't think that that adds up. I don't believe that 1+1=3.
Math is hard.
I don't know what you were doing. But when you look at Mike Williams,
and
now
we wouldn't have to do math.
Mike Williams now becoming a New York Jet, to me, is more about the New York Jets than Mike Williams. It's more about not being able to double Garrett Wilson without there being some sort of consequence and repercussion. It's about not being able to stack eight men in the box and not allow Breece Hall to get loose. I think this is huge for Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. You're trying to surround your aging quarterback that is ultimately talented with the best skill group possible, with the most protection possible. And I believe that the New York Jets are attempting to do that. And Mike Williams is a huge piece and a great get for Joe Douglas and this team.
Yeah, Adam, let's just remind everybody the moves that the Jets have made. They did a lot on the O-line. And now, of course, you see this addition in Mike Williams joining this offense.
Well, last week they traded for Morgan Moses to play right tackle. They signed their left guard, John Simpson, away from Baltimore. They signed Tyron Smith from Dallas. So they basically came up with potentially three offensive line starters. The other need on this team was wide receiver. There have been a lot of discussion how the Jets would love to go trade for Davante Adams. The only problem with that is that the Raiders are not interested in trading Davante Adams. So once you can't go get Aaron Rodgers' favorite target, who is available? And Mike Williams was released less than a week ago by the Los Angeles Chargers. He was the top wide receiver out there right now, scheduled to visit the Panthers on Wednesday, then go to the Steelers. Not going to make it to either one. He gets a deal done with the Jets, and the Jets fill their most pressing holes during free agency, giving them more flexibility in the draft.
Yeah, let's talk about that flexibility in the draft with Mel Kiper Jr., who's with us here. And Mel, what are you expecting to do now at 10?
Adam just said it, exactly that you don't have to force anything. Brock Bowers is there. You got a great opportunity to bring in a guy who's not just a tight end. Don't label him that. He is a pass-receiving weapon who you can move all over the place, put in the backfield. He can do everything. Or you can go a guy like J.C. Latham, played right tackle at Alabama, says he can be a left tackle. He has a skill set to be a left tackle. You could go for a versatile kid like Troy Fa'utanu from Washington, played left tackle, has longer arms than Joe Alt, can play that spot or can kick inside like Zach Martin did coming out of Notre Dame as a left tackle turn guard. So they have opportunities to go for an offensive lineman or a guy like Brock Bowers at number 10 now.
Yeah, RC, what do you think? Would you go Brock Bowers, get a really versatile pass catcher, or do you go O-line and get some depth with this O-line that they've got some big names, but those guys are a little bit older?
Yeah, also, too, think about Tyron Smith. This guy hasn't been healthy for the Dallas Cowboys in the last few years. And so if you do have a tackle that falls to you, that you not only could be your tackle or left tackle and protector for the future, but for the right now, I believe that you have to take him. But when you look at Brock Bowers and what he was able to do at the University of Georgia, it was absolutely phenomenal. He's able to stretch the field, catch the ball in between the numbers. And so having a guy like that to add to what Aaron Rodgers already has on the outside would be huge. But it's exactly what Adam and Mel said. You don't have to reach. You don't have to go for a position of need. You can go for best player available. And that's a great position for the New York Jets to be in, and one they haven't been in for a while.
As a GM, I guess I'm more risk averse than that, because I'm going to get an offensive lineman. I can't risk Aaron Rodgers getting hurt. We're all in on this is the guy that's going to help us make a Super Bowl run. We got to protect him. Tyron Smith was an all-pro last year, but to your point, RC, he was hurt. He has injury concerns over the last four seasons. He's a borderline Hall of Famer, but we have to get someone who is versatile in this draft if they're available at number 10, because it allows us a little more flexibility in making sure if the worst case happens, we can still make sure Aaron Rodgers is protected.
Don't look now, guys. The hope is building for Jets fans. Go ahead, Adam.
Well, one Jet fan already texted me. He already could see Tyron Smith falling on Mike Williams and Mike Williams getting hurt. Let's also point out here, Mike Williams coming off a torn ACL. He is not expected to be ready until about August. So, again, they're waiting for Mike Williams to come back. But Jet fans are already worried about the things that can – I mean, listen, the Jets, Tyron Smith has struggled with injuries. Mike Williams has struggled with injuries. These are great players they've had, but they need them to stay healthy.
Yeah, all right. Time for one more thing before we go. Sorry, Jets fans. We check in with Bears tight end Cole Kmet, who had a St. Patrick's Day ruined by the Justin Fields trade.
Was planning to then hit the city and kind of go out, but then got a call from Fluce and the people with the Bears, and decided to stay in after the news with Justin. You know, obviously really upsetting that I kind of came to that, and you know, where it was at that moment, but you know, you kind of felt like the writing was on the wall with that, really when I was keeping up with the combine.
Mel, what did you make of the Fields trade to Pittsburgh?
Something going on there. Joey Porter Jr. for Chase Claypool, and now we're gifting Justin Fields. The Steelers got to thank the Bears because they got a corner and they got a potential franchise quarterback here that's 25 years of age.
Yeah, you know what? Well said, Mel. It was way too cheap. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for being with us today.